We'll be looking at Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. Let me read that portion of Scripture. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This is one of the most beautiful sections in the scripture about the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 tells us that Christ is the image. He is the image of the invisible God. Not that he was the image. He is the image of God. He is, as the word in Greek is, icon. He is the icon, the image. He is the figure. He is the exact representation. He is the likeness. He is the one that Christians are being conformed into the image of. Brothers and sisters, this one that we're reading of, it says in Romans 8 that we are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This one who is in the image of the invisible God, who is the invisible God. We, brothers and sisters, you talk about a privilege and an honor and a responsibility. This is the one to whom that we are being conformed into the image of God. Jesus Christ is God, just as God the Father is God. Christ is the one who makes the unknowable God knowable. Christ makes the invisible visible. He is the one who opens the blind eyes. He is the one who raises the dead. Now in our text it says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Well, Bill, I thought you just said that he is God, that he is deity, yet it says that he's firstborn. He is the firstborn over all creation. Firstborn. Protokonos in Greek, firstborn. It doesn't mean he is the firstborn in a family as we would know it. Protokonos can describe either the priority in time or the supremacy in rank. Jesus Christ was before all created things, and Jesus is being of a supremely different order. He is before all created things. As I said, that word protokonos can describe either priority in time or supremacy in rank. Jehovah Witnesses argue that firstborn means Christ was created. See, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. When a Jehovah Witness knocks on your door, ultimately, if you're a Christian, you're going to get around to telling them that Christ is God, and they're going to tell you, no, he's not. That he's a created being. That he didn't always exist. Yet look at what the scripture says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. He couldn't be created. He created all things. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Do you really think that Paul is showing that Christ created all things, that all things were created through him and for him, that he is the image of the invisible God, that he's over all creation, that he's the head of the body, the head of the church, that in all things he has preeminence, that all the fullness dwells in him, that by him you can be reconciled? And in the middle of that, Paul is saying, well, he's the firstborn, he was created. That is the epitome of insanity, that you would think that. That while he is laying forth all these truths, Paul the Apostle laying forth these truths, that, well, let me slip in that he's firstborn, and it means that he was created. As I said, protokonos can describe either priority in time or supremacy in rank. Christ is the creator, not the creator. He's the one that created heaven and earth. He is the one that created Satan, demons, angels, humans. He is the one who created all things. He clearly says, all things, for by him all things were created. If he was created, he didn't become a creator. He was the creator that created. For by him, all things were created. Further on in that verse, all things were created before him. In verse 17, in him all things consist. All the fullness should dwell. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Look at it, how many times it says, all things were created by him. All things were created through him and for him. Before all things, in him, all things consist. This is why Christ is worthy to be worshipped. This is why he is loved and has been loved for centuries, for millennium, for he is the Holy One. He is the one that created all things, created heaven, created earth, created Satan, created demons, created angels, created humans. Christ is all. He created, notice, principalities, dominions. All things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, all things in heaven. He created the angels. Some cults teach that Christ was an angel, but yet it says all things in heaven are created by him. Angels, demons, angels that got thrown out of heaven. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. My friend, we are not just talking about some human being here. Visible and invisible, heaven and on earth. What kind of person do you think could create like that? No one but God creates like that. Whether thrones or dominions. Notice what he's saying, that this Jesus Christ, this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years plus ago, created all things in heaven, on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, rulers, authorities. All things were created through him. Can you not see the glory of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the greatness of Christ? Can you not see that Christ is all? All things created through him, for him. By him all things were created. The Creator. That title is not given to any human being. Only God is the one that title belongs to you. Created all things that were created. He is the one created heaven and earth. Christ is before all things. He is himself the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Notice this scripture is written in about 60 years after the death of Christ. And they're not talking about somebody that's dead here. They're talking about someone who is alive. He is the image. He is before all things. He is the head. Not he was, he is. Even as Yahweh said to Moses, tell the people, this is my name. I am who I am. Not I was who I used to be. Yahweh told Moses, tell the people, I am who I am. And here it's saying, he is. He is. It's not saying, well, you know, that guy, you know, Jesus, he died 60 years ago, and he was a good guy. He was a great teacher. He was a friend of the people. He is the image. He is God. He is the one that created. He is before all things. All things in him consist. You see in verse 17? He was before all things. In him all things consist. Consist. To place together. To set in the same place. To place together that universe that you see. The sun every day that you see. Where it comes up one way, it goes down the other. Where you see the moon, you see the stars. The sun rise, the sun set. You see the tides rise, the tides are low tide, high tide. You see summer and spring and fall and winter. The seasons, he set in time. All things consist in him. Who are we talking about here? In him, all things consist. Placed together, set in the same place. To show, to prove, to put together, to unite parts into one whole. He created your body. He is the one that is before all things, and in him all things consist. Your body put together, set in place, put together, united into one whole. He is before. He is the one to whom in whom all things consist. This is why I bend my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is God. Christ is the unifying principle and personal sustainer of all creation. He is before all things. And notice, he is also the head of the body, the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. He is the head. He is the one in whom all things consist. The church is about the plan of Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's calling the shots. He's moving his people around throughout the earth. He has come to dwell in his people. As I said, he's directing and unifying the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building necessarily. I'm talking about all the people of God in whom is the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ the Son. All truly born again believers. That is who Christ is the head over. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Christ is the unifying principle and sustainer of all creation before all things. He's the head of the body, the church. Verse 18 says that he is the one who is to have preeminence, to be first, superior to all things. He is the one who is to be worshipped, to be adored, and to be obeyed. And the question is that true in your life? Does he have the preeminence in your life? Is he first in your life? Is he superior to all things in your life? Is he the one that you are worshiping, adoring, and obeying? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you truly say that you worship Christ, that you adore Christ, then you will obey Christ. He is the one who has preeminence. He is the King of Kings, ruling and reigning. What do subjects in a kingdom do? They obey their king. They obey their king. Now this section of scripture can captivate your mind for all eternity, these truths that are written here. So he says in verse 18, he's that have preeminence. And then verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell. The fullness, all the fullness of God should dwell. This word, fullness, was a recognized technical term in theology, denoting the totality of the divine power and attributes. All the fullness should dwell. All of the fullness of God should dwell in Christ. That is quite a statement. But now, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, what it says about believers now. Born-again believers living in this new age, this new covenant age, in the age of the Spirit. Now, in our text, it says that all the fullness of God should dwell. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you see what it's saying in verse 19? Do you not know that your body is not going to be, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Notice, who, not it, who is in you. My friend, the Holy Spirit is in you. The same one that dwelt in Jesus Christ is in you. I mean, these statements are unbelievable. Unbelievable. As I said in 1 Corinthians 6, look at 2 Corinthians 6. This whole concept about dwelling. How it said that all the fullness of God dwells in him, in Christ. And now I just showed you where it says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Now look at 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 16. And this is a quote from the Old Testament. So Paul is telling you how to interpret the Old Testament. He's telling you how he interpreted Ezekiel 37, verses 26 and 27. So I mentioned to you about that we are the temple of God, that we're the temple, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, child of God, you who are a new creation, you that have been born again, you that have seen the kingdom, you are the temple of the living God. Notice that's emphasized, the living God. As I said in the beginning of the message today about Christ, He is. He is. You are the temple of the living God. He is. He is alive. He's not dead. This is not a concept that came on the scene and has disappeared, and now this concept is coming to the front again. He is the living God. As He told Moses, I am who I am. And we saw in the text about Christ, He is the Creator. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. This is God Almighty speaking. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here's Paul taking the text from Ezekiel and applying it to believers in the new covenant, in the new age, in the age of the Spirit. He's saying, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For you are the temple of the living God. And just as the fullness dwelt in Christ, so now Paul prayed in Ephesians that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We're talking about deity dwelling inside human beings. This is what we're talking about. Deity dwelling in human beings. That's one of the beautiful truths of the new covenant. All the fullness of God should dwell in us. The Greek word used here denotes a permanent dwelling. That word dwell, the Greek word for it denotes a permanent dwelling. And there's an entirely different word used for the sense of a temporary dwelling place. This is not temporary. God dwells in us, and God will always be with us. I will be their God. All the fullness gathers together all the previous statements, speaking of Christ once again. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. What is all the fullness? All the fullness gathers together all the previous statements. Image of God, firstborn of all creation, creator, eternally preexistent, head of the church, all of the fullness, all of the things that we have just read. And lastly, notice, it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Verse 20, and by Him, by Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Christ. He, Jesus Christ, is the reconciler. To reconcile completely. To reconcile back again. To bring back to a former state of harmony. To change from one condition to another. Removes all enmity and leaves no impediment to unity and to peace. Christ is the reconciler. for by him to reconcile all things to himself. And let us see what Paul says takes place with this reconciliation. Let us read Romans 5, verses 5 through 11. Romans 5, 5 to 11. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who, notice once again, who, not it, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, not going to be given, has been given to us. And here Paul tells us what our condition had been before this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, perhaps, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, notice verse 6, when we were still without sin, now we see when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This one that we've been looking at for the last 20 or 30 minutes, however long it's been, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, this one that we read about in Colossians, the one that has created all things, the one that is all over all things, the preeminent one, the one who all the fullness of God dwells in, the one who was in the image of God, when we were without strength, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than, if that was your condition, much more than, having now been justified by his blood, that is how our sins are atoned for, by the blood of the Lamb. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not maybe, there's a possibility. We shall be saved, what? From a horrible life, from a lot of pain and heartache and trials and tribulations here on earth? No. We shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath of God. For if when we were enemies, notice, we were still sinners, we were without strength. If when we were enemies, without strength, sinners, enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Now, this took place when we were in that condition. Much more. Same as in verse 9, much more, having been reconciled, not going to be reconciled, maybe be reconciled. If you have been reconciled to God, we shall be saved by his life, the life of Christ, the life that he lived, the perfect obedience to the law that he lived. We are saved by his life. What Christ did in obeying the law has been given to us, has been imputed to us. His righteousness has been imputed to us. And as far as God Almighty, the Father, is concerned, we perfectly obeyed his law in Christ. In Christ. And not only that, back to Romans 5, verse 11. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We have received the reconciliation already. Reconciled completely to God. And Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What beautiful statements we have looked at today. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. We were created by Jesus Christ, and all things in him consist, and in him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. What a beautiful word, the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace. The question is, have you been reconciled to God? Have you been reconciled? Have you been made right with God? Or are you still under the wrath of God? Are you still under the wrath of God? Are you going to come to Christ today for salvation? Can you not see how glorious Christ is? Why do you think people use his name in vain? Why they make light of his name? Why that name, Jesus Christ, falls off of people's lips so easily in such a derogatory manner, making light of Christ. But yet, Paul does not make light of Christ. He lifts up Christ, for Christ is worthy to be worshipped and adored. And my friend, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, come to Christ today for salvation. There's salvation in no other name. These truths that I just read to you, it's not said of Buddha or of Muhammad or any other supposing God or supposing prophet. These truths are only said about one person that walked this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. Wasn't said of Confucius, wasn't said of any leader that has come down the road. These truths have only been applied to Jesus Christ because it is the truth. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And Christ graciously says to you today to come to him, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, heavy burden, you feel the weight of your sin. You feel the weight of all the things that you have said you would do that you didn't do, all the promises, all the vows, all the things that you have broken and destroyed. You know, even now as I'm speaking and you're hearing this word, things are coming to your mind of falling short. Falling short not only of God's law, but your own laws that you have set up. You have failed. All of us have failed. The scripture said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what sin is, missing the mark. be it the mark of God's law, be it the mark of your conscience, be it the mark of you say, well, I follow the golden rule. I do as unto others as they do unto me. It's like, really? Do you really do that? But even if that would be true, if one was to hate you, you're not to hate back. You're to turn the other cheek. See? Be reconciled to God today through Jesus Christ. I'm begging with you, pleading with you. Come to Christ for salvation, for He is the one that reconciles, and by Him all things are to be reconciled. By Him. It's only through Christ that you can be reconciled to God. Come to Christ today. And believer, brother, sister, if you're listening today, just bask in the glory of Jesus Christ, in the beauty and the supremacy of Christ. And know, as I read earlier in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, He dwells inside you today. He's the one that's directing you, guiding you, speaking to you, causing you to love others, and on and on and on. Enjoy His presence today. In Christ's name.